Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast yet again. I've got Paul Farmer here with me today. Paul, what are you doing?
Hey, Saul.
What are you doing here on the podcast?
Well, you invited me and I thought it'd be quite rude and out of alignment with our values of integrity that I don't show up. So I thought I'd best show up.
That's a very practical answer. Thank you.
That's all right. I'm a practical kind of person.
It's very literal.
yes, it is.
But Paul has been actually probably has the great honor, if you want to call it that, of being the only regular, so to speak, person on the podcast. I think this is time number 4 or 5. So, but that's because you've got good stuff to say, Paul, I reckon.
Well, I try to be interesting. I try to be relevant. And if it helps one person do something they can't do today, then that's my job.
It is, yeah, because you're – so for people, heaps of people will probably know you, but for people who don't actually know what you do and what the hell we're talking about, give everyone just a bit of a snapshot, because version whatever of you at the moment, the – I'm not sure what version it is. Well, in my context of Paul that I've known – I don't know. Maybe it's, 3 or 4 or 5, something like that. But give people a snapshot of what encompasses the current version of you, which is pretty damn interesting at the moment.
So, yeah, it's, there's been a journey, shall we call it that? It's the journey from when I first met you in 2016. There has been a lot of water under the bridge, and there's been water under multiple bridges. Mm. So where we are today, there's a number of things that we're doing. One is, on previous episodes, I'd published a children's book about my granddad, Granddad Charlie and his thongs. I've just released a coffee table book, which is called 23 Reminders, which is designed to be able to help people very simplistically see that there are ways that they can move forward by just asking a simple question or being reminded of how they can move forward simply. So, for example, talk doesn't cook rice, so take action. It's simple, but at the same time, often when you're in a space where you're flat or you just don't see what your next step is, this gives you an opportunity to be able to see that there is a simple way to look at things to help you to be able to move forward. So that's something that's just come out. And you helped me with the website, so thank you, Saul, for that. It's now running smoothly. And big shout out to you for helping with that. So that's one ball in the air. The other one is we do consulting. So in terms of sitting outside a business and helping them see a business and helping them see where they don't quite see clearly the way for them to be able to move forward. So that's a piece though. Mentoris Group is a group that focuses on one-to-one business consulting. So it'll be one business at a time. And then I'm just about to release Momentum Masters, which is a group program which is designed to be in a space to help businesses grow rapidly over a 10-month period. So helping them unpack their business, become aware of what their business is and how to make that happen over 10 months so they don't need us in their business after 10 months. If they choose to have us in their business, happy days. But we don't want to be the barnacle on the bottom of the boat. We want to be the people that help people. And so to wrap all of that up, everything that we do is wrapped into helping people see what's possible.
That's the common thread, right?
Yeah. Helping people see what's possible, because, you know, if you're sitting there going, I just don't know what to do or what our next step is or what I want this thing to do, you've got 23 reminders. It's just a little reminder to say, well, it doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be massive. It is just a little thing to say, hey, have you thought about this in a different way? From our consulting piece, same thing. What we do isn't, it's not complex, it's not massive, but it's designed to get people to think differently about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And then the group program, same thing. It's about surrounding people with trusted advisors who can help them think differently about their space. So, you know, you think about all of the bits and pieces that we've got going on at the moment, and group workshops. You were in one of my workshops in this month. So in terms of the elements of what's possible, that flows across pretty much everything that we do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was that, I guess, the idea of what's possible also for me is strongly linked to things like inspiration, which is in one sense, like it's always been a huge thing online and I guess generally in the lives of people looking at and sourcing quotes, right? Like people are always, and I'll be asking you at the end of this podcast also for a quote, which I found, I mean, I was actually thinking about the fact that I was going to do that with you. I thought that's pretty funny because, you know, in the sense that, that I was like, gee, I wonder if Paul's going to be find it, you know, hard pressed to find a quote. Probably not. He's
probably not.
No, probably not. But and may even, for those people listening, source one from his current book of his own.
I may source one from my book. So and it may be the most simple one possible, but you know, let's see. We'll get to that when we get to it, shall we?
Yes, Michelle. Yeah, no, but the idea of inspiration for me is like a really big one, because I was thinking, you know, why do people generally why are quotes as an idea so so popular? Yeah, you know, as a thing. And I thought, well, one, they usually have some you know, either like pearl of wisdom or they point something out in a really simple way. It's like in a way, not exactly like a haiku, but it's like a simple idea, you know, put into a very concentrated form to express often something that can be much more far reaching, right? And so you've got, and your book, and I'm not just like saying this for people listening who are probably thinking, oh, Saul's just like saying this. I was like, no, I actually like, I genuinely think this. And I also have the advantage of sort of knowing Paul, and like your book of quotes for me is very much you. Like it's actually, I'm very much, you know, how you are, which is sort of straightforward, but it's got like a good sense of humor, but it's still sort of quite in insightful, which I think is the, you know, this is probably sort of oversimplifying it. There's obviously a lot more to when you know, work with a business and you're talking with people. It's from our own, your viewpoint also of like working with you is that like having simple insights, although sounding like it's oversimplifying, I find really powerful, and that's linked to inspiration. I think that's a really underrated thing. Like it has to be supported by, yeah, your actions and your plan and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. That's like a given, but inspiration, what do you like? I just hear your thoughts about like the power of that idea of inspiring. Well,
the interesting thing is that if something is too hard, then someone potentially will go looking for a barrier to put in front of it so they don't have to do it.
Mm.
Whether it's fear, whatever, doesn't matter. If it's too complex, sitting with the amount of clients that I sit with, if it's too hard, bugger it. I'm not going to do it.
Mm.
And so the simplicity of it is if it's simple, you increase the chances of someone potentially being able to do something. Mm. Now, if that helps them be able to take one step as opposed to going, no, that's too hard, then if that's an inspirational way of thinking about it, then it's inspiration. So for me, stripping back the complexity to make it simple, then if we can make things simple, we increase the chances of people actually taking action to make that happen. But if you, as an example, if you get 15 pages of stuff, and I'll give you an example. I was working with a client. I came in after they'd had a consultant there previously, and I said, can I ask a question? I said, why am I here? You've just had a consultant come in and do a, you know, a great this, 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 and this. They said, well, they left us with 65 things to do, but we don't know how to go through and make them happen.
Mm.
And I said, so why don't you get in the back? And they said, oh, they don't do that. So I said, well, let's look through them and give us your top five. And they went, okay, well, these are the top five that we think. And so, well, let's start with number one and then number two. And once you've done number two, then you do number three. Once you've done number three, then do number four. And once you've done number four, do number five. And they went, is that it? And I said, well, what do you want? Do you want me to come in and do exactly what the consultant's already done? No, you want me to make it simple for you to start doing some of this stuff. Mm. I said, so take away the fact there's 65 of them. Start with number one and work your way through methodically.
Yeah.
I said, okay. if it's any more complex than that, it's like the example of climbing a mountain. Do you if you constantly focus on the top of the mountain, then you lose sight of what's needed to get you there.
But if you look
down and focus on your feet, you look at the rocks you've got to avoid, you keep going, every now and then you look up to see where you are. It's like, oh, yeah, I've made some progress. And then you keep going. And then you look up, oh, yeah, still working towards that. And then you get look up again, you go, oh, yeah, cool. Then you look back and you go, holy crap, look how far I've come. And then all of a sudden, yeah, oh, yeah, I am making progress. So then you keep – but if you keep looking at the top of the mountain, you're going to step on rocks. You're not going to see stuff. You're probably not going to see a more efficient way to get to the top of the mountain because you're looking at the top of the mountain. So in terms of creating an opportunity for things to be simple increases the chances of people wanting and seeing how they can take action. So, you know, simple quotes, people will see them as inspirational. That's their own way of looking at it. You know, nothing has meaning apart from the meaning we give it. So, you know, if people see it as being inspiring them to take action, that's inspiration. If they don't take action, potentially they're probably not going to see it as inspirational because they haven't given it a meaning of I'm inspired to take action. So they won't. So they won't see it as they might see it as motivational, but it might not be inspiration because if they're not inspired, they won't do it.
Yeah, so, I guess it comes back to also the different types of definitions you could actually have for what even is inspiring. You know,
whatever it is. It's everyone, as I say, nothing has meaning apart from the meaning we choose to give it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be grandiose, right? It doesn't have to be like any like, you know, grandiose inspired thing. Like that's what, and I guess like, you know, inspiration for me too, like things that I can think off the top of my head, like even say from a sport point of view, like when you're doing something physical, right? And something happens in real time in a game, and like I play squash, so I'm always like, you know, carrying on about squash. But for me, it's a really accurate metaphor, like an individual squash game, often for life, like a concentrated view of things that happen, because there's some extreme highs and lows all within a short amount of time. So for me, it as like points in that where you're sort of inspired for some reason, you see like a gap, or you see something, or something happens that makes you, or for me, like feel a certain way. And sometimes I can't even understand it. Like it's not actually logical. Like I just go, I have a feeling and I'm inspired to do something. And I often find that interesting, because like the feeling comes from as a result of something happening, and then in like either like, you know, an action, or in the case of say a quote, it's got certain meaning that you find in it, or they're speaking to somebody.
Which again, everything comes from the meaning that you give it. So yeah. For example, part of the interesting piece of the stuff that we do is about, it's like, ask yourself a rubbish question, get a rubbish answer, make it mean something rubbish, take rubbish action, get rubbish results, feel rubbish.
Mm.
Yeah. So you look at you and your squash, when there's a moment that comes up that you feel inspired, you've gone through the process of, you've asked yourself a question, what just happened there? You've then answered the question with, this has just happened. Then you've given it a meaning, but that meaning has come through the filters that you have. And it may be that you experienced that previously, or someone else has experienced it, or the filter, the past experience you've had was a good experience. So you've got, oh yeah, actually, that's pretty cool. But if in that moment you'd had a bad experience previously, that might not have been an inspirational thing. It might have been a demotivational thing for you.
Yeah,
because that's right. So the past experience. So there's the filters that you see things through shapes the experience that you have. So as again, ask a rubbish question, get a rubbish answer, and a lot of this comes through past experience, your values, your beliefs, and what you experienced between the age of 1 and 7.
Yeah.
And so all of that.
And it's interesting hearing you speak about it, because you often you do it sometimes on online too, but then I'm speaking to you, you give little scenarios about this person, without saying who they are, giving scenarios. And what I always find one, interesting, but two, the common thread, and this is going to lead to like a question too, is that it's often that the resulting, solution or path that you go, and then we said this and this happened, is very, very simple. So,
yeah.
So the question is, is there a common thread or threads that you find are reasons why people don't see the simple solution?
Yes. I literally, funnily enough, I had this conversation yesterday with a connection of mine. We were talking about some of the blockages that come up for business owners. And it was interesting because the expectation either from others or expectation of ourselves generally is one of the biggest demotivating or motivating factors in business. And so to give you some context around that, if you have, and there's a business that I've worked with previously, they were, in their words, they were wanting to grow. Yeah. They wanted to double their business. And I asked the question, I said, so for what purpose? Why do you want to double? Well, we'll have double our turnover, and we'll have this, and we can do all of this, 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 and this. And I said, but can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. And I said, so at the moment, the amount of family time you're getting, I said, actually, to be fair, I said to them, I said, your family hates you at the moment. I said, how is adding all of this into your business going to add to what you really want, which is quality family time? I said, so where is the desire to continue to ensure that you have a rubbish family life? I said, where's the pressure coming to make sure that continues? And he said, well, I was talking to these guys, and these guys said, if you're not growing, you're dying. And I said, well, that's great for them to say that. I said, but are you willing to lose any connection with your family whatsoever over growing a business? I said, because really, the whole purpose of us building businesses is so we can spend more time with our families. And I said, how's that going at the moment? And he went, yeah, not good. I said, so why do you want to pour more fuel on the fire? And he went, well, but these guys said, and I went, well, so the external expectation for him was he thought that if he wasn't going to double his business, he was going to be judged by others outside of his business.
Yeah.
And so that side of it. And I said, well, to be honest, I said, tell them to bugger off. I said, it's your business. I said, it's your family. I said, if you're prepared to just literally lose anything you've got with your family whatsoever, I said, that's your choice. But I said, I got a feeling that your family matters to you. And this is why you're confused, because you don't want that double your business, but you don't want to let down these other people here as well. And he sat there in silence and he just said, how do you make it so simple? I said, well, it is. I said, you're just getting wrapped up in the complexity of judgment and fear. And so for him, it was, I said, you're judging yourself based on not being able to meet the expectations of others. I said, but you're prioritizing the expectation of others over the value of family. I said, how does that feel? And he said, actually, now I fully understand why I feel the way I feel. I said, yeah. I said, but if you could still grow, I said, would you still want to grow? He said, yeah. I said, so what if we could add 5% to your bottom line? Yeah. I said, what if we could, and in his case, that'd be $250,000 a year. I said, what if we could add that? I said, would that allow you, if you had that, what could that do for you? And he said, well, I could employ someone for 100 grand a year and I'd still have an extra 150, so I'd still be growing. And I said, well, that extra person, would that allow you to take one day off plus the weekends? He said, yeah. I said, so is that growth? And he goes, yeah. I said, so you don't have to add double your business to create a business that you actually want. I said, you've just got to give up the weight of expectation both on yourself and by others. I said, you know, we have a saying, it's like my house, my rules. I said, it's your business. What other people, the meaning that other people give, or those that judge you in your space, I said, are they really your people? Yeah. So again, if we're asking people to shift the way they think about things and we make it complex, we're just adding complexity to a complex situation. What's the point? They're not doing it the way they are at the moment. So if we change it and make it more complex, are they going to be more likely to take action towards something more complex? No.
Yeah. It's just being able to break it down, right? Like making it simple. Into manageable parts too. That's a
Yeah,
I mean, like the power, I think really the power of breaking stuff down and doing things that seem little but consistently. And I think that's a key word and key idea too, is consistency. Because you can do, like, you know, a bunch of stuff that doesn't actually seem like a lot, but doing it consistently, like the little steps up the mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, same sort of idea.
And that's what they say. You look at the sporting analogies. Now, sport's a great thing to throw analogies up, but, you know, the one percenters. Yeah, if you do 10 1% efforts every day, that's 10%.
Mm.
Yeah, you do that every day for 5 days a week, there's 50 one percenters. So you've got to 50% based on doing all of these things consistently. So, you know, you look at it. And as I say, I've had this conversation with accountants, and I'll say accountants specifically because I am one, but I've had this conversation with accountants because I find it challenging that accountants don't make it easier for clients to understand what it is that they're doing, because there's a fear that if they understand it and they're able to do it, they won't need them.
Right.
Which is so rubbish, because you're in a space and for context, the amount of business owners that I speak to, and I help them understand their financial information. I help them understand their financial, a 12-month cash forecast is something that we do. Mm. But I help them understand what their financials mean and how they can squeeze more out of them without having to do more. And I said, and they literally say, well, why isn't my accountant showing me this stuff? And I said, because you don't ask.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden it's in a space where I say, but these are the simplistic things. I said, if you understood this, would you be able to do things differently? And they say, yeah, we know where to focus. We know all of this. And I said, well, I'll be honest, that's not compliance. And because it's not compliance, a majority of accountants don't have the time to spend, to sit, to explain it. But it would change the dynamic of your business if you knew this stuff. And they go, yeah, totally.
Yeah, but it's so, like, yeah, I think certain meanings or expectations are probably applied to certain professions or trades or activities more than other ones, because generally a person would never expect, say, to get work from a plumber, for example, who's fixing up a pipe, and also expect them to be strategically thinking about the planning for the pipes around the whole house and the drainage. They just wouldn't generally just expect that. They would, it's more of a you know, established thing that they would go, I've got a leaky pipe, can you fix it? Or I've got this job, can you fix it? But their expectation of the plumber isn't that, like, hey, you should have been you know, also thinking about this at the same time. But I feel like maybe it's because of the nature of certain tasks that people, or, you know, maybe it's the meaning or the projection of certain things, like, you know, onto people too. Sort of maybe, like, what do you think? Because I mean, I find that, and I mean, I understand it, because we have that in our industry too. Like, maybe it's the amount of money you're spending on something, you know, and it has more importance, or the task is more or less important to you.
Yeah, but again, the thing that I see is, and I think this is where you're going, but in terms of looking at the value that comes out of having conversations with clients, then if you simply give them something, and again, we're talking about this yesterday, it's like working with a business coach, and they walk in and they give you one of their models. How do you know whether that's relevant for you?
Mm.
You don't, because there's no education around what it is you might need, or there's no education around, tell me about your current space so I can work out what is relevant for you.
Mm.
Yeah. And so in terms of what we do is we ask about their current space. We ask them about what it feels like to get an understanding of what it is that they want to shift. Then we can work out what it is they need, rather than walking in and just giving them a solution to what we feel their issue is. It's just, well, here's a model. Use that. Apply that to your business. It's like, but what if that's not what I want?
Mm.
What if that's not what I need? So again, you go to, and I'll use an accounting for example. You go to an accountant, and you get your financial statements, you get your tax returns, you get all that done. Great. But what's the value add? The value add is, do you understand your financial statements? No. I just gave my information to the accountant. They did it, sent it back to me, and I signed it. But who's liable for the information in there? You are.
Mm.
So there's an element for me of what's the value add? Well, if you help people understand what it is that you're doing with them, they then can potentially extract more value out of what it is that you're doing. So take the plumbing example. Do people need to know about the plumbing and the strategy, whatever? No. However, when the plumbers are leaving, what they can do is they can give them some tips around, hey, what we've done is we've just walked around and we've just checked all the taps in your house, and this here is going to happen to that one in 6 months' time. Or signs of this is showing up. I just want to let you know. All of a sudden, off they go. There's a value
add. Questions, or then asking the right questions, like you're doing, like they could say, totally. They could ask about your drainage. I mean, that's literally what happened on our property. We were thinking about improving the drainage because there's a big slope, and the guy who wasn't a plumber who's helping us, it actually wasn't even interestingly his intention to get like drainage work. We wanted to have it anyway. And him going, oh, what happens when the water comes down here? And we were like, oh, well, it flows through here. And I said, and then he was like, well, and then he had information. And like you're saying, like the right information from the right questions. We'll say, and then he was able to provide a solution, which was initially really just like a chat.
But it's also
being a strategy after that.
But it's a solution that's relevant.
That's right. Yeah.
Because what tends, and again, I'll generalize because I can, what I tend to find is where they're not comfortable with not knowing the solution for something.
Yeah.
They literally put their own view of the world into someone else's space and go, that must be what you need.
Yeah, you fill the gaps.
But you fill it from a space of comfort for yourself.
Yeah.
Something you're comfortable with, as opposed to finding out what's going on in their space and then giving them what they need. You walk in and you just sell them what you've got.
Hmm.
And so it's one of the things that I find. It's like, you know, 90% of what we do is asking questions. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. Tell me about that. Associating it with feeling and emotion, because that's the stuff that people want to shift. But we look at it to be able to say, well, how do we fully understand what's going on in someone's space and what they need if we don't get an understanding of what they need and what it is that they actually want to shift?
It's important, the importance of then being, I guess, from your perspective too, like when I hear you saying that, is I would imagine, I mean, I know this is the case because I know like you're a good listener as well, that being a good listener and being able to then go, okay, well, asking the questions, you have to be then like, it's the equally as important to be listening to what people are saying and, you know, and adding like another question, like going down that, you know, sometimes tangential path, right? Is you go, I got on this information, right? Because you like, I find it always, this is going off on a slight tangent, so to speak, is that I always found like the fact that you are, I think anyway, and I'm not just trying to make you like feel good, Paul, but yeah, I think you're a good writer and you write well. And you've always and you obviously like it and you're good at it. But for me, that says like something interesting about how you probably think when you're talking to people and you're helping them in their business. I find the two things like very closely aligned. The fact that you've written, the kids book, and you like that sort of things and quotes, and even the, or not even, or and the posts and things that you often write online, like they always have, they're well thought through, and it says to me, so what do you? I'm sort of interested because I don't think I've ever spoken to you about this, but like how did you, I guess, come to, at what point in the past or recently did you go, oh, I want to write a book, or I like writing? Like, how long has that been like a thing?
I've never consciously gone, I like writing, I'm going to write a book or whatever. Writing the first book, I was sitting on a city cat coming into the city at 5:30 in the morning, working 20-hour days. And so for me, writing that book was I sat down, and this is exactly what happened. I sat down and I started to make a list of the people that I was grateful for. And the first person on the list was Granddad Charlie.
Mm.
And then I went one. And then I went, oh, I'm just going to make some notes. And I literally... It just popped out and I wrote it. Bang. 25 minutes. And then the next day I sat on the same city cat and I literally then thought about, I've got another book that I haven't produced yet, but, about a friend of ours who has a cochlear implant. And so I wrote a book about little Jimmy. And then to write this book, there was I'd been collecting quotes because I use a lot of them. And it's not so much going, oh, I'm going to quote the author of whatever. Mm. Where some people go, they use quotes to feel important. I use it because people remember them.
Mm.
And so the simplicity of it is you can highlight or add context to something, but you give someone something to remember, which is simple. And so I've been collecting a bunch of these and using a bunch of these just organically through with clients or whatever. And there was one client said, you should get some coffee cups or you should get some t-shirts or whatever. Cause he said those things, he said, your hair, your face and your voice pops into my head whenever I think about that quote. And so
I think I know who that is. That was, yeah.
So I was collecting a bunch of these and I thought, you know what? Bugger it. Why not? I'm going to put these together. So I sent them to my niece, my eldest niece. I sent them to LJ and I said, can you have a look at these and tell me whether you feel this is going to be a good book or not? And she wrote back and she said, Uncle Paul, if I'd have had this morning, I would have had a very different day.
Yeah.
And so for me, if that gives the ability to change someone's day without me having to be physically present, if I don't put that out for other people to be able to experience, then that for me is just being selfish. So for me, it's about, again, helping people see what's possible. Here's another avenue for me to be able to have people feel flat, be unclear, but be able to quickly reference something, whether it's an ebook, whether it's a, you know, one of the books, we've got the hardcover book or the soft cover book, whether it's something they open up to a page and go, you know, rocks don't roll themselves, so take action. It's not mind numbing. It's not massive, but the simplicity is like, oh yeah, I can do that, or something is possible.
Mm.
And when you don't see it, generally you don't see what's possible. You just see the stuff that keeps coming at you. You see the challenges, not the solution. So this is just a simple way. So to go through all of what we do, if I'm adding complexity into someone, they come to us because their space seems complex. If I add complexity to it, they're just going to sit there and go, well, that was a great waste of time. I'm now more confused and I've got more to work on, as opposed to here's some simple things, simple steps to take away.
Yeah. I think that's and also upon reflection too, like with the quote thing, I actually had this realization the other day when I was sort of because I've ordered one of the books too, and
you're thank you.
And you're going to give it to me very soon, which is very exciting. But yep. I was actually thinking about it, and I thought, I just had a little realization, which is kind of like, because I'm a big fan of like, I'm design obviously, and books and things in print and online. And I was thinking, it's interesting because I actually can't think. But this realization, and I hadn't shared this with you before, but I had this realization. I was like, I actually can't think of a book that I've encountered, and there's been like a lot, or a sort of a thing like this where there's a series of quotes that are all have a, you know, general unified theme of like simplicity and, you know, a range of things we've been talking about in one book. Because you see quotes, yeah. You know, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I had this little, and it wasn't any big, you know, great, huge thing, but I thought that's actually kind of unique. Like, because I can't think of one where there's been the same setup.
And so the part of the driving force behind it is to be different. Because, you know, you look at most coffee tables, what are the books on coffee tables? They're colorful, full of pictures. Yeah. Mm. This is black and white, and there are no pictures.
Mm.
The words are the pictures. So, and it has a rubbery context to the cover. So it feels different. So it's designed to be different to what's already there because as we were going through the process, I spoke to an editor about this and I said, here's what I've got, go through, put your filter on it and then send it back and let's have a conversation. And it came back and it was, and I'll be honest, it was flowery. Hmm. And I said, can I just understand the context of that? And they said, well, this is what everyone's doing at the moment. I said, well, that's great. I said, but it's not me and I don't want to be like everyone else. So I said, this is designed to be different. It's designed to be direct and it's designed to be simple. Mm. Yeah. I said, I want this to be different because at the moment, if you're the same as everyone else, you just blend in.
Mm.
I said, but this is designed to be different because I want people to see that it's okay to be different.
On its own merits. Having it purely black and white really stands out. And that was like when we made the site for it then too, I was like, I don't think I've actually shared this, but the fact that I think I shared it with Kate who did the design like for the book. And I was like, having the chance to actually do almost a completely black and white website was really interesting. And I was like, that really stands out. Except for the photos, like there's a couple of photos, but it was like a simple, a reflective, but you know, also conveys the general mood of what's contained in the book.
And the idea, and again, this goes back to everything that we do. Our job's not to add complexity to things. It's about simplifying things. Because if things are seen in a way that are more simple, they're more likely to do them. So, and you know what? It's a reflection of me because, you know, I don't like complexity in the way I look at things simply. And by doing that, it allows me to take the action to get things done. And so, you know, I played sport. You know, I learnt sport because I just made things simple.
Mm.
I didn't overcomplicate it. It's like if playing cricket, if the ball's on that side of the wicket, hit it that way. If it's on the other side of the wicket, hit it that way. It's like it's not complex. So,
yeah.
And that's, and everything, I look through all the space that I do at the moment, and, you know, it's exciting because we're different to pretty much what everyone else is doing, which is adding complexity. It's more, it's bigger, it's whatever. It's like, well, let's be honest, it doesn't have to be. It's just people bowing to expectation of the outside world. If you're not bigger, more, faster, stronger, whatever, what are you? And you look at social media, what is it? People are trying to show that they're bigger, stronger, faster, more. More is better. Well, sometimes less is better.
Yeah, it's like that perception.
Yeah, you look at your client base. You know, you can sit there. If you took the bottom 20% of your client base, I reckon a lot of cases that bottom 20% potentially isn't profitable, and it takes up 80% of your time. I said, if you get rid of that, it opens up so much more opportunity. So that's not adding more. That's actually simplifying things. So you don't have to do more, but the more profitable work means that you make more profit out of doing less work. And so what's the hate about that? Yeah. Oh, I can't do that because people will judge me because I've got less clients. It's like, well, but you're doing less work and you're making more money. What's complex about that? And what's, you know, someone judges you for making more money and doing less work. It's like, are you serious?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of it comes back to, you know, to a bit of, you know, fear, and it's not always in the extreme senses. So fear
and ego,
being judged, being, losing something. But, you know, it's interesting how much of it is perception, because I mean, I don't know how often I have these realizations, but they're fairly often, and it's often like the day to day things, you know, like when you're going, you know, when you are procrastinating or you're putting something off, and inevitably, I know this is the case, and I still do it, but I'm better at it than I used to be, which is you go in your mind, the perception, which isn't reality, is. And it's not really even thought through. It's like it's going to be bigger. It's going to take ages or whatever. And then you start doing it, and it takes like 5 minutes. But
what you just said is you look at it and you make it mean complex.
Yes, that's right.
So you put it off. Why do you put it off? Because it's going to be complex. But if you then sit there and go, well. What is it going to take for me to do that? Or if you ask one question, what's the one thing I can do to make that happen? Would you do it? Generally, yeah. Because you'd see the one thing and go, oh, yeah, that'll take me 5 minutes. Right, I'll do that. Yeah. As opposed to, I think it's going to be a big piece of work. I'll put it off because it's going to be a big piece of work. But if you look at something, and what we do is we look at something and go, right, well, what's the one thing that's going to help me make that happen? And if it's a simple little thing, it's like, well, I'll do that. So, for example, this morning, I woke up at quarter past four in the morning, and I started to put together the books to send them out. I was like, I'd been putting that off I had to wait for them to turn up.
Yeah.
But I could have quite easily just put that off. And I sat there and said, well, what's it going to take to get these things out? And it's like, sit down. Wrap them in tissue paper, wrap them in bubble wrap, and then put them in the mail and send them. So I'm literally in my office, I've got the books ready to go to the post office. Would that have happened had I have not changed the question I asked myself at 4 o'clock this morning? No. So it's like, what's the one thing that's going to get that done? Is me getting out of bed, because I'm now awake, I'm choosing to go into that room and start the process of getting that done. It's my choice. So again, you go back to the ask a rubbish question, get a rubbish answer, take rubbish action. So if I ask a rubbish question, which is why would I do that, or then I'd sit there and go, nah, can't be asked, too hard, and I'd go back to sleep. But I woke up and I was awake, and it's like, well, I'm awake now. What is it that I could do? And the first thing that came up was those books need to go. Okay, well, I can get up and go and start the process of doing that. And half an hour later, because I was awake and I was doing stuff in the next room, Cass was then awake. And so then she came in and she said, what can I do? And so she sourced coffee and we sat down and we packaged them up and they're now ready to go to the post office. So if I hadn't have chosen to ask a question about what's going to make something possible, I would have rolled over, gone back to bed, tried to sleep, and none of this would have happened. And I'd be sitting here now going, I promised the people would have these before Christmas, but it'd soon be Christmas. So, you know, the element of procrastination only comes from the choice that you make, which comes from the question that you ask yourself up front.
Yeah, the questions. It's amazing. Like when you break it down, it's into those bite-sized chunks, how straightforward it is. But it is, like you said, like it's not.
Yeah.
It's not actually complex. But what actually what sort of things? Although there's a lot of like super exciting stuff happening right now for you, Paul. But what are like some of the simple things that kind of inspire you that really like make you inspired to do whatever it is that you love to do? What are those things?
Yeah, so I'm driven by seeing people do things that they currently can't see themselves doing.
Mm.
That's my jam. It's whether it's in business or outside of business or whatever, I'm wired to help people. So for me, if I see someone who is challenged by something, I love sitting outside the space and helping them work through what's challenging them about it and help them be able to come up with a way to either make it happen or realize that maybe it's not that thing that they want anyway. Maybe it's something else. But they thought that that's what they wanted because it was within their comfort zone or their zone of knowing or whatever it is. So everything that I do is designed around helping people see what's possible and then look at a way to help make that happen. And so where I get my inspiration from is people that actually make things happen.
Mm.
Yeah. So I've got a good connection of mine. She's she's building a business in the NDIS. So she's just a weapon of a human and is building a business. So for me, I look at what she's doing and going, holy crap. It's like she's making things happen, but she's making good decisions and good choices, which is then showing up in her space. Mm. So I look at those type of people and people that are building businesses and doing things and doing good things that matter to them, then I sit there and that's where I get my juice from is if it's possible for someone else, it's possible for you.
Mm.
Yeah. And so where people are doing things, and it may not be that those things are successful, but they're taking action, getting results, and then making decisions again, getting results, and they're just constantly making decisions, assessing where they are, assessing what they want, and then going forward. And so, you know, those that are doing it in the most, you know, one of the best cricket coaches I ever had, Graham, who's in his 90s, I think he's in his 90s, hopefully that's been kind, but in terms of he never raised his voice and he was always simple about his advice.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's like, what's challenging you? Cool. What's stopping you having that, this? Why don't you work on that? Cool. As simple as that. Yeah. Is it? And then it would be, what help do you need from me to be able to do that? So, so being in a space to ensure that as I choke on my words, but looking at the space and going, well, where do I get my creative inspiration from? Is seeing people do things that are from the heart.
Mm. Yeah.
So I see people that do things from the heart and I go, that's integrity. Yep. those that are full of lip service, it's like you can be as successful as you want, but that's not going to inspire me because you're not being in integrity with who you are and being authentic. You know, the authenticity that flows through people that I know, it's just like the ones that are down to earth, humble, potentially successful, but define success, and they're just having a crack. Yeah. None of the airs and graces and all of that, you know, the arrogance and whatever, that just doesn't come into our space. You know, we have two rules in our space. One is we work with quality humans, rule number one. Rule number two, see rule number one. It's no more complex than that. You know, if you want to be that arrogant, high-flying, look-at-me type person, we're probably not going to get on. Yeah? So it's about if you're a good human, then seeing good humans do good things, that's what inspires me.
Yeah, I think that's is. I find that there's like a strong correlation in sort of my experience. I have this is actually kind of come from doing the podcast more and more because I've been talking to a lot of people who I've never actually met. Like it's the first time, and it's always really interesting because there's also often this common thread too, which is related to creative thinking and having strong, some sort of strong morality around like who they are and like similar things to what you're talking about. They actually like it's really, really obvious that they're like, I mean, I could be wrong, right? But it, like I feel like I've got a pretty good gut feeling about people in general and have these conversations and people are talking about their stories and there's a common thread between people going, you know, having to work through ideas and, you know, situations. And for me, that's true creative thinking. I mean, you could apply that term to the creative industries and that's one sort of like aspect, but I always view true creative thinking as like things we've been talking about of like asking questions, thinking about the right solutions. And then for me, it seems very closely aligned also to actually wanting to do the right thing. Like it's actually really, it's not, for me, it's not really like a separate thing. It's like you're thinking about it because, I mean, yeah, it might be for other reasons too. You want to get, you know, increase your profit and like, all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, if it's for like the right, you know, goals, and actually just as I think of it too, because this I'm related to what you were saying before about people who ask the right questions in the right way. I saw this snippet online of it was like one of those YouTube shorts that you randomly look at, and Gary Oldman. The actor, when he was playing, Inspector Gordon in the Batman movies, he was talking about in this little snippet, and it was really good. Like he was like, it was the title of it was like, great example of the right advice, and he was talking about how it was like the best example, and I mean he's super experienced, right? Very, very experienced actor. And he was like the best example of the right advice at the right time that he's ever experienced in his whole career was with Christopher Nolan, who made those movies, the Batman movies. And he was like, he hardly ever gave specific instruction because he trusted that he was doing the right thing. But every now and again, he said, like the only time he ever gave me any instruction or told me to do anything a particular way was in this one scene. And all he said was just, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I'm sort of along the lines of just give it a little bit more intention. You know, that's all he said. It was like in that he already knew what he was doing was right, but he just wanted a bit more and he didn't have to say any more than that. And it was interesting because then for Gary Oldman, that amount of information had a huge amount of meaning, and it was really simple. And I thought, and I only saw that like last night, and I was like, oh, that's really cool because.
But isn't it interesting that the actor would have given it his meaning in the absence of that extra context? He would have given it his own meaning.
Mm.
The director added the extra context, which got it closer to being what the director wanted.
Yeah, that's right. And he was sort of smart enough, like, and he's obviously not that sort of guy, but he's also the type of director in the point of view of Gary Oldman who already trusted what he was doing was right. And he just needed, and he didn't need to, you know, he was open also to things going down a certain path. And when he needed it to be a little nudge, only then he said it. Like he didn't have to, it was, but, yeah. But that was interesting to me because what that meant to me was that, not just that he didn't say stuff often, but that he knew the right time to say something. And like how to say it, and that's sort of
But again, you look at the way that people communicate. If you want someone to do something specifically, what do? Generally, you give them specific advice, or you find out whether they know what it is that you want done specifically.
Yeah.
If not, there is a gray area, and the gray area, and you know, we have a saying. It's like in the absence of black or white, there is gray. And generally, people fill grey with their own stuff.
Mm.
But if you want either black or white, then you've got to understand what someone's grey, or we call it remove the grey.
Mm.
You've got to get rid of it by adding fact into what you want others to do. Otherwise, they'll fill that space with their own stuff. Generally, it's not what you want. It's not on the money. It's through their filters, and so they give it their own meaning.
Mm.
Which generally, when something turns up and it's not what you expected, it's because we haven't clearly articulated what it is that we wanted specifically.
Yeah, it comes back to asking the right questions again, doesn't it?
Totally. And if you have an understanding of what someone else is thinking, then you either assume that they know, and then roll the dice and see what turns up. Or you say, well, if I can remove the grey, then we can then be on the same path to ensure that we're doing things in the right way.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah. I'm gonna at this point, Paul, I'm gonna get you to smash out a quote or two.
A quote, righto. I've got
if you want to.
You've got I've got a couple which may or may not be things that show up in a book called 23 Reminders. These are two that I use often, and I'll be honest, one of them forms part of the majority of the work that we do. So first one is nothing changes if nothing changes, so be the change. And then the one that forms most of which forms a big majority of the stuff that we do. But the second one is, it's not the thing you want, it's the feeling it gives you. So get clear on the feeling you want.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
I like
the context,
the two of them, but I like that one especially.
The context for the second one, think about a cup of coffee. Do you buy a cup of coffee because it's crushed up coffee beans and warmed up milk? No. You buy it because it makes you feel good. So it's not the thing you want, it's the feeling it gives you.
Mm.
And that cuts across everything.
It does. Yeah. Yep.
So there are a couple of little quotes that come up quite often. And as I say, you can find them in 23 Reminders.
Which I'm going to be getting very soon. I'm very excited about.
You'll get it in the next couple of days.
Yes. You're going to actually physically hand it to me as well, which is even better.
You're physically going to take it from me.
I am. Yeah. I am. Yeah.
True.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And so, so for people, I will have like these links in the description too, but where do people who don't already know about you find out more for the things we've been talking about? Where do they go on online, Paul?
So LinkedIn is Paul Farmer is I'm on LinkedIn. Mentoris Group, www.mentorisgroup.com.au is our consulting business. www.momentummasters.com.au is our group programs that are starting over the next month. And www.23publishing.com.au is where you can get a copy of an either ebook copy, a softcover version, or a hardcover version of 23 Reminders. All of those websites curated by Roundhouse. So Saul and the team have put those together for me. So massive thanks to Saul and the team.
Thanks, Paul. Always
for getting those up and helping the world see our things in a different light to if I was doing it, because there is no way I can do what you do, Saul. So really chuffed. And outside of that, if they want to connect with me, they can connect with me via you if they want. So just connect with Saul and then he'll send you my way.
I will. It's true. I will actually do that. Thanks, Paul. Like it's always a pleasure. Always lots of great things to talk about. And I'm also just genuinely really sort of excited for you that I've said previously. It's always, I always love seeing people with different, projects that are really from the heart. And I know they are. I know you and I know that's true and they're great things. And the workshop the other day was also awesome. That's just like another real world example. But thanks again. I'm sure there'll be another time as well in the future.
I'm sure there'll be another time because there's plenty going on. So
there's plenty more coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, there's a few other bits and pieces floating around. So I'm sure there will be an opportunity. So just very grateful to have the opportunity to share some of my journey. And if it helps one person be able to shift what they're doing, then that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, 100%. So thank you, everybody, yet again, for listening to our little podcast. And we'll see you again soon. Say goodbye to everyone, Paul.
Stay tuned. Have an awesome week. And remember, rocks don't roll themselves, so roll them.
Thank you. See you, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.